John 10 verses 1 to 18, New International Version. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. This one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them.
Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All you have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must also bring them. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one more shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my own accord. I have authority to lay down it, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word as always, and we thank you for the way that you speak to us through it. And we ask that you would lead us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this question this morning, and that question is, does life have a meaning? I have to admit, I am so tempted to put the number 42 behind me, the meaning of life. In case you're wondering, what on earth am I talking about? That's a reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I looked online and I did a quick search, and unsurprisingly, many, many reams of paper and thousands of websites have been dedicated to try and ask that very question. What does life mean? What is it? What is it all about? Even Monty Python got in on the act, of course. They brought out a film a number of years ago now called The Meaning of Life. And at the very end of that film, they conclude with this. Well, it's nothing very special. Try and be nice to people, avoid eating fat, read a good book every now and then, get some walking in, and try and live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations. Well, that's all right. I don't disagree with any of that. But it doesn't really say much, does it? It's maybe a bit bland. I wonder whether that question, does life have a meaning, is one that you've been asking yourself more during lockdown, through this year of 2020 with its twists and turns, or maybe even through your own personal circumstances. Maybe what we're going through at the moment is making you ask that question more than you have done in the past. You may even have been joining us online because you've been asking that question. And if that's you, it's great to have you here. What is life all about? It's a question maybe lots of us are contemplating and pondering. And so that's what I want us to think about this morning. Does life have a meaning? Of course, at this point, I could do a really quick answer and just simply say yes. But I want to say quite a lot more than that, and you'd expect me to. And you probably will expect my next comment. The fact is that I cannot look beyond Jesus for the answer to this question. You might expect that for a vicar. In our reading today, John 10, at verse 10, Jesus gives his reason for why he was born as a human. He says this, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He came that we may have life in all its fullness, he says. So it's through Jesus that we can know life in all its fullness, and therefore, surely, we can know the meaning of life through Jesus as well. It might be, though, that you're thinking of that phrase, living life to the full, and you might have other thoughts about that. You may think about, you know, sometimes we might say about somebody, oh, they lived life to the full, when actually what we might mean by that isn't really what I believe Jesus is saying. Maybe in that sort of phrase, we might think of a worldly view, that sort of hedonistic attitude to life, travelling, rich foods, partying all the time, self-focused even. But whatever we think of it, many of us would say that we're certainly not living life to the full at the moment with all the restrictions and changes to restrictions that even this week we've had. But I don't believe that's what Jesus means when he says this phrase. It's not about that. A life in all its fullness is so much more. Just think of someone like the prodigal son who went off to live what he thought was life in all its fullness, really, only to discover that he needed to return to his father. Of course, that father is an image and a way of helping us to think about our own heavenly father. So I believe that we need to look to Jesus and who he is to understand what life is all about. And the great thing is that Jesus gives us a way to see that really clearly. Because in John's gospel, he has 7 different ways that he describes himself. 2 of them in our reading today. And they're often known as the 7 I Ams. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to think about those 7 ways that Jesus describes himself, all of which talk about life, all of which lead us to see what life is about and what life in all its fullness is about in the way that Jesus talks about it. So we're going to have a relatively brief fly through each one of those 7 I Ams, and we're going to do them in the order that we find them in the Bible. The first one then, John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus talks about himself being the bread of life. In the context of this verse, Jesus has just fed thousands with a few loaves of bread and some fish. And the people follow him. They're asking him all sorts of things, but they ask him for a sign to prove who he is. They remind him of how God had fed their ancestors with manna, bread from heaven, when they were in the wilderness. But Jesus' answer really surprises them because he says this. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The people that were following Jesus were thinking of bread that would physically sustain them. They'd just been physically fed. But Jesus was thinking about spiritual sustenance. Bread, of course, at the time would have been their staple diet. But Jesus was saying, your staple diet spiritually, all you need is me. You don't need to look anywhere else for your spiritual food. You need me. I am your life. Just believe in me. And we need that, don't we? We need to keep going spiritually. Jesus is the bread of life. He is what we need to feed on day in, day out, to keep us going spiritually. That's the first I am. See, they're going to be quite brief. The second I am, then, is in John chapter 8, where Jesus says that he gives us the light of life. Just before Jesus describes himself in that way, he says that he reminds the religious leaders who are talking to him, who had been accusing a woman caught in adultery, and he says that none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. We all do things wrong. And he says to them, any of you who is without sin, you can be the first to throw a stone at this woman caught in adultery. And of course, none of them can. Jesus then sends that woman away, telling her to leave her life of sin. But in the following bit, Jesus says this. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of. I don't know if you've ever tried walking in pitch black darkness. I've done it a few times, and a couple of years ago, I did it to a bit of a dangerous extent. I was on holiday in Sri Lanka, and me and my friend were in this hotel, and we walked out of the front door because we wanted to go out for dinner. And all the people on the gates were saying, we'll get you a tuk-tuk, you know, to get you there. And we were brash, and we said, no, we're not going to do that. We will get ourselves there on our own steam. We will walk there. How we regretted that. We walked along this road for what seemed like a long time, nowhere near the restaurant because I had read the map wrong. And we decided to cross over the road. What I haven't said is that road was, there was no street lights, yet the road was full of tuk-tuks and lorries and buses just zooming past us. So we crossed over the road eventually and we started walking back to the hotel. However, as we walked, I walked in front, I kept walking, and then suddenly there was no pavement. So down I go, very painfully, sudden swelling up in my ankle, and I spent the rest of the holiday hobbling around and putting ice on my ankle. Walking in darkness can be very dangerous. And actually, if we think about it in other ways, in darkness things can hide away. Sin can take over. We can be unseen. Things can also seem quite hopeless. But with Jesus as the light of the world, well, he brings the light of life. With light, of course, things are so much easier, aren't they? They're brought out into the open. There's hope. With light, we can be led, we can be guided. That's a far better life, isn't it? Jesus gives us the light of life. The next passage is from our reading today, and that's from John chapter 10. And in verse 9, Jesus says this, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." In this verse, Jesus is saying that he is the way to be saved, which is another way of saying that he is the only way to our Heavenly Father. We know that others have tried to say that, but Jesus is the way. He is the gate, he says, to eternal life. And of course, the meaning of life is not just about now, but it's about eternity as well. That's a very brief one, because in the next couple of verses, Jesus goes on to say the next of the seven I ams. He says that he is the one who gave his life for us. In our reading today, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." When we think about sheep, we know that they need safety, don't we? They need food and water. And the shepherd is the one who protects their flock and guides them. The shepherd isn't like the hired hand who runs away in this passage as a sign of danger. The shepherd is the one who sees the sheep as his responsibility. We were thinking about this morning with our staff team, and one of the things that we realised is that someone pointed out is that Jesus, the good shepherd, is continually there, constantly engaged, watching, caring for the sheep. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus was speaking prophetically, of course, about what he would go on to do. He would go on to lay down his life for his sheep. And of course, his sheep are us, you, me. And of course, when we think about life in all its fullness, think about the sheep and the shepherd. As sheep trust and follow their shepherd, we too can trust and follow Jesus. Not only for our eternal salvation as the gate, but also for now. Life with Jesus means we can trust him now. We can follow his lead, we can follow his guidance. And of course, Jesus is not just a shepherd. He is our good shepherd. He's worth following. He gave his life for you, for me. And actually, because he gave his life for us, doesn't that also show us just how meaningful our lives are to God? So we've had four of the I ams. We're on to the fifth one now. And in this one, Jesus says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." That's John chapter 11. Jesus spoke those very powerful words to a heartbroken woman whose brother had just died. His name was Lazarus. And she told Jesus that if he had been there, her brother wouldn't have died. But the fact is, Jesus, who would go on to show physically that he was indeed the resurrection, raised her brother from the dead. And what Jesus says and does here is a reminder that even though we may physically die, we will live on in eternity through our belief in Jesus. But life in all its fullness now is lived in that promise, bringing life to us now. Think about the difference it makes now to know the hope of eternal life. If you've not thought about that, I really encourage you to do so. The Bible says a number of times that because of sin, it's like we're spiritually dead. But with Jesus, we find life. So actually, the meaning of life is found in Jesus' resurrection. It's quite mind-blowing when we begin to think about it, isn't it? Following on from that is the next of Jesus' I ams. Jesus says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's John 14. You might recognise those words if you've been at funerals and things like that. It's words that Jesus says to his disciples in response to Thomas's question, "Well, we don't know the way. You say you're going. How do we know the way?" Well, actually, we've already in some ways talked about the way. That is the gate, the only way to the Father. But Jesus also says here, he is the truth. How many times have we heard people in the media discussing what the truth is? If you're looking for truth, I encourage you, look to Jesus. He is the author of creation. He knows. And actually, in John chapter 8, Jesus says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In that verse, he was talking about himself. When we come to know Jesus, the truth, we find freedom. Jesus sets us free. Only in Jesus do we find true life. Finally, that he is the life. I've been reading a book recently called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I'd recommend it to you. And in that book, he quotes Eugene Peterson. And Peterson says this, "The Jesus way, wedded to the Jesus truth, brings about the Jesus life." John Mark Comer also says that he has realised that maybe we've missed out the life bit a bit because we focused on the way and the truth. But the life is vitally important. It leads to how we live now. And he goes on to talk about lifestyle. Fact is, Jesus is the life. How much more about the meaning of life do we need when Jesus says that? Finally, Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's from John 15. Without Jesus, he says, we can do nothing. If you've ever done any gardening, you may know this quite well in terms of that image of the vine and the branches and things. Some of you have heard this story before, but I have a pear tree. And one year, I decided to prune my pear tree because there was a branch that was really in the way of the garden path. I chopped that branch off, but there was a little tiny pear growing on it. And I don't know why I did this to this day, but I thought, oh, I'll just put that branch back on the tree and the pear will grow. Of course it didn't. The pear stayed the same size and the leaves dropped off. Fruit doesn't grow anymore when it's not attached to the branch and when the branch is not attached to the tree. To bear fruit, which is surely a good thing, we need to, as Jesus says, abide in him. Surely that is life in all its fullness, actually, to grow, bear fruit, isn't it? To see abundance. And in order for that life, we need to be connected to Jesus. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So a life not connected to Jesus, we could say, is fruitless or even meaningless. Which would you rather? So Jesus said that he came that we may have life in all its fullness. Through Jesus, therefore, we can know the meaning of life. Jesus said, "I am." That is not something in the past or just in the future. It is all encompassing. Jesus brings meaning to life now and the future too. He is, I believe, the reason to live, the way to know meaning in our lives. All of these I ams give us different aspects of who Jesus is, and they just touch the surface. And the fact is, if we want to know what the meaning of life is, we need to look to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The gate, the good shepherd, the vine, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, the bread of life. I wonder what your response is to that. Amen.